Kristen McQuarrie's here, and I don't know what is happening in this crazy world of politics.
We need to make sense of this, Kristen.
We can't. I heard you talking to her off the air, and I don't remember exactly what you asked, but you said, is this unprecedented? A lot of the stuff going on is unprecedented.
Yeah, it is.
It is, and I think when you ask questions about what's going to happen with a convention, is it going to be brokered? Is it going to go to a second vote? Honestly, people don't know. The people who know the most about how all this works are the lawyers for the Democratic Party and the Republican Party who run the conventions. And you will even see them give conflicting accounts of what could happen. So it's,
we're making it up as we go. Well, so we're not, but
we're not. But this is kind of the, you know, we're in it, the time crunch is slimming. You know, we're getting to a point where the conventions are in July. Normally by now, even after Super Tuesday, you have a pretty good idea who your nominees are.
Sure. Kristen, it seems like there's a lot of underground sort of manipulating and plotting now for this convention.
Absolutely. I mean, there's you still have people like the RNC chairman last night, Rens Priebus, was saying there is going to be no Paul Ryan. That's a big, you know, Paul Ryan doesn't want to run. He's not going to take it. You're not going to see a brokered convention go to someone who hasn't even been on the ballot in all of these states. It'll, if it goes to a brokered convention, it'll be, you know, one of the three candidates who are in the running. I think that's probably true. But again, who knows?
But if it's brokered, help me through this, because like we all said, this is new territory to us. If it's brokered, it's brokered because Trump is the closest to coming to the magic number but doesn't have it. And it means that the party is deciding Trump's not the right guy. So then they go to either Ted Cruz or Kasich, or I have read in more than one place that Marco Rubio is still around the corner peeking in going, I still exist.
He's
only
suspended
me.
His campaign.
He only suspended
right?
his campaign.
I love that Wendy keeps remembering that, pointing that out. But they all do
Bill
that.
Bill has yeah. had a problem with that, and it's suspended because they have to finish paying their bills and their debts and all that stuff. But if he suspended it, doesn't that mean in this weird case scenario, Marco Rubio could come back in?
I mean, it would mean so each state does it differently, but what you have to have in so what they will do if Trump does not reach the magic number is they'll have a first round vote. And there's still a pretty big
and
possibility.
Who's involved in that though?
All of the delegates.
The delegates. Okay.
And it depends by state. Like Illinois, I don't know if you voted. If you voted in the primary, you actually voted for a delegate with their name attached to it.
Yeah.
We only have I think 5 out of 69 or something delegates who could break free on the first round.
Okay.
Everyone else, it was by congressional district. There are 3 delegates per congressional district. And if you look at the winners, they're all Trump, Cruz, and Kasich because they had the highest vote totals in our state. So, like, if you voted for a Rand Paul delegate on your ballot, they're not going. They're not going to the convention. So we are a state where it's pretty set in stone that on the first round ballot, you have to vote for who you are getting sent. Not every state is like that.
Right.
And even in our state, on the second round, then you are free to break from who you're sent there for and vote for someone else. The danger for that is, so look at Wisconsin yesterday. Bernie Sanders did well everywhere outside of Milwaukee. If you go to the convention as a Bernie Sanders delegate from one of those congressional districts where it was a clear winner for him, is it unethical of you to jump over? And the same on the GOP side. Could you see people breaking away from Trump if their district that sent them to the national convention to, you know, cast a vote for Trump, if they go in a different direction? So, I mean, there's a lot at play here.
Okay, so now what does this mean for Hillary Clinton? Because people are feeling the burn.
Yeah.
He did better than anticipated.
He did do better than anticipated. And I was actually surprised that he did really well in like Madison and pretty much every place in Wisconsin.
College towns, though, right?
Yeah. That's not as big of a surprise, right? But some of these rural Wisconsin areas, I would have thought would not have been comfortable with an East Coast Jewish guy. I really didn't. I thought.
And throw in the socialism, the Democratic socialism.
There you go. Throw
right.
in the social. I thought they would be a little more mainstream. So Wisconsin might be a little bit of an aberration in terms of results. New York is next. And on the Republican side, you have Donald Trump, who's really popular in New York, from New York. And Ted Cruz, remember during one of the debates, he ripped on New York? He called him...
Yeah.
He is an example of the New York culture or something.
Yeah, he said something very derogatory about New York, so that could bite
the
him
type
a little
of
bit.
Manhattan, especially, yeah. Right. So I think Trump is going to do well in the city and the surrounding areas. And Hillary Clinton was a senator from New York for how many years?
Yeah.
So I think she's. I think we're going to get back kind of on the front runner track in these next few primaries. But Donald Trump has to win 60% of the delegates in every state going forward in order to meet that magic number.
Now, do they really like him in New York? I know he's from there, but you know how sometimes you don't like your own?
Right. I get the sense that they do. And I think he's kind of, you know, he's a goofball, but he's their goofball. And somebody like Ted Cruz is very tight on, you know, gun control and anti-gun control. And New York City is...
I know you're laughing at their it's
I'm
his,
laughing
their goofball.
It's the guy running for the presidency of the United States, the most important position in the world.
He's
and
our goofball.
That's the mindset, is he may be a goofball, but he's,
our
goofball.
Goofball.
But it's the president of the United States. It's so amazing that it's come down to that.
Right. I mean, maybe Kasich will make a surprise. I just don't see New York City, Manhattan voters as being as far right and dogmatic as Ted Cruz.
Right.
So I don't think he poses a real threat for Trump in New York.
Last week was probably, and I think Donald Trump has admitted this, this was his weakest week, right? I mean, a lot happened last week. Even if you look at what's happened with him the last 6 months, there have been all kinds of negatives where you go, okay, that's the straw that broke the camel's back, but it doesn't. It keeps making him stronger. But last week, for some reason, I think mostly about the women being punished for abortions,
I think
a lot of people really went, uh-oh, wait a minute.
You would think that he would have thought through that issue to answer that question more clearly. And when you have pro-life people and pro-choice people uniting against you, you're in trouble. You said something really awful. And he did. I mean, I don't think he had fully thought through. They didn't allow him to really complete the answer that he was trying to give. But there was that. And then his campaign manager, there were, more came out about the campaign manager shoving that reporter. And it turned out that, you know, yes, they actually did. They lied. I mean, they said initially that they had no contact with her. They didn't touch her. And then, in fact, the video shows they did. And even last night, so... Wisconsin's primary, everybody who lost sent out a nice, you know, like Hillary Clinton sent a congratulatory note to bring a little press release. Trump's state,
speech.
Right. So Trump loses badly after going after Scott Walker, the governor, whom is very popular with Republican primary voters there. Instead of being gracious, he puts out a statement that starts right off saying, "Lion Ted Cruz had the governor of Wisconsin, conservative talk shows, and the entire party apparatus behind him." He goes on to talk about how Ted Cruz is worse than a puppet. He is the Trojan horse being used by the party bosses attempting to steal the nomination from Mr. Trump. So
he's kind of not lying, though.
On which part?
About the Trojan horse. I mean, I just find it shocking that this whole Republican Party is now thinking, hey, we don't want him representing us. We got to do something different. That is completely destroying the whole party.
I agree with you 100% on that. I mean, I am not a Trump supporter, but I support the rights of Trump supporters to be heard.
Yeah.
And I do. It's a tightrope for Ted Cruz to walk because he's trying to run as an outsider like Trump, but now he's got the party insiders helping him. So that's going to be very difficult of a case for him to make going forward. But I feel that if you are a Republican primary voter, you had a huge selection of candidates in the beginning, 17 people running.
Mm-hmm.
You ended up with Cruz and Crump. And
just let's, do let's, it. Just
let's
do it
together.
Like that.
Crump. Let's
no,
come
I
up like
that.
A
I like Crump.
Helen Crump, who's from Mayberry. Nobody expected her to win.
Like they need a Brangelina type.
That's true. All right. Kristen McQuarrie is here from the Chicago Tribune. We'll pick this up in a little bit. If you'd like to jump in, questions or comments at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Kristen McQuarrie is here from the Chicago Tribune. We're all trying to make sense of the political situation in the country. Not that easy to do. John Kasich staying in so far hurts whom more? Does it hurt Donald Trump more or does it hurt Ted Cruz more that he's still a factor?
I think it's hurting Donald Trump more because Donald is more in a position now where he needs it. It's getting close. I mean, it's not getting close enough that I don't still think Trump is going to be the nominee. But Cruz is catching up enough where if Kasich dropped out, and more of his supporters would go to Trump, that would be helpful. Yeah. I don't see that happening. Kasich supporters are a little bit more moderate, and but you know, Cruz is far to the right, so maybe they would favor a Trump over a Cruz.
All right, Bob has a question here. Listener Bob wants to jump in. Hey, Bob.
Hey, how you doing? I love you guys, but every once in a while, I want to reach through the phone and just grab you by the shoulders and shake you.
Because why?
Well, for one thing, you're talking about Trump like he's being picked on. And the fact of the matter is, if you go back in history, Lincoln would have never made it to the presidency because he would, based on what your logic is, because he didn't lead in delegates. He didn't get it to the third ballot. So based on your logic, the person who went in leading should have been made president. And he's not the only one. In fact, Lincoln should have never even got in there anyways, because things that he did to get into that convention would be considered illegal today. Sanders admits he's not a Democrat, but he knew he couldn't run as a third-party candidate. He's a socialist, but he ran as a Democrat. So the person who has the most doesn't necessarily win. It has to be you hit that number, and if you don't, then it can become a contested convention,
right,
and the best person then wins that they think can win. It isn't.
I think, but we said that. That's exactly what we said.
Well, no.
Go ahead. What did I say? Because what I am confused about is you have your Republican Party and people have voted and are continuing to vote, and Trump is pretty much leading everybody. And then the Republican Party is scared of what Trump might bring to the office. So now they're kind of saying to their people, you know, your vote didn't matter that much. We have to change plans. We're going to call an audible. That's what I think is unfair.
But I don't think you're calling an audible, because you're saying the same logic then would have applied to Lincoln.
I'm not a history buff, so I don't really know what happened in the Lincoln days.
The convention rules change every 4 years, and so to try to make that comparison is just kind of apples oranges right now. The convention, they change the rules every 4 years. They sit down and make decisions about how to protect. I mean, superdelegates didn't come around until the early 1970s for the Democrats, or the early 1980s. So I think that's a little bit of a stretch.
To those rules, right? I mean, you know going in what the rules are. Trump knew going in what the rules are. The thing is, he's like a petulant little baby. If I don't get my way, I'm going to pack up and go away. He's not a true Republican. He's not a true conservative.
And he's not going away.
But he's not going away, but he might not get the nomination either. And the thing, just because he's leading in delegates, that he deserves it, I don't think so.
He's leading in delegates, though, because voters are choosing him. So, I mean,
and the Republican Party is kind of saying, don't care who you chose. We don't think he's a good guy to represent us. We got to call an audible. That's what I think is totally wrong.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing I think about it, too, is that you have a situation, and I know that this has happened before in Chicago, where people have crossed over and are voting for Trump, who normally wouldn't have come over there and voted for him.
Yep.
Strategically, you mean?
Right, strategically.
Okay. That's
right.
True. That's so, what I wonder, how much is strategery and how much is people voting for him? That's what I'm curious about.
Yeah.
And you, with these open primaries, or what are they called? Is that it?
The unbound delegates?
Well, where people are doing it strategically as opposed to just voting for whom you want. In fact, when I went in there and they asked Republican or Democrat, I went, I have to think of my strategy.
Right.
And then I answered my question and they didn't laugh. I meant it as a joke, but people were doing that.
But you had the right to do that. And
right.
I think the issue that Bob is raising is what I hear a lot. The broader issue of when you are voting, you are actually voting for delegates. You are voting for part of a political process. You're not voting for that person. And that is true. But I don't think people in their heart of hearts really understand, believe, or support that. I think when you go into the voting booth, people were choosing Donald Trump. And so even if the party says, no, these are the rules, this is how it works, you were just choosing delegates, we can go in a different direction. Unless it's really close, if Cruz does get really close, that might justify a second round of, justify a second round of balloting.
You could take that a step further then and use that argument for the general election, because there have been people elected who have not won the plurality of the votes, but they've won the Electoral College.
Talk to Al Gore about that.
Right. So you could take it that step further and say, well, that's not fair.
It wasn't fair.
Right.
It wasn't fair. That wasn't fair.
Oh, my
fair.
God, your bleeding heart is killing me.
Oh, give me a Band-Aid.
Bob, we have to thank you for the phone call.
You.
We appreciate it.
Bye.
It gets crazier and crazier. I mean, every time you think you've seen the worst of it or the strangest of it, it just keeps getting stranger.
Right. Well, even Sanders is, he is losing in delegates because of this whole superdelegate issue helping Hillary. She has like 476 or something superdelegates, which you can complain and say the Democrats shouldn't have that rule.
Yeah.
It gives extra power to party insiders to make sure that their candidate gets elected. I think Bernie has like maybe 1/10 of the superdelegates that she does. And those are the rules. So does that mean now we should turn around and give it to Bernie? Imagine what the Hillary Clinton supporters would say.
Wouldn't sit well with them, would it?
It would not.
My God, is this messed up.
Isn't it?
It seems so complicated.
Well, the rules keep changing, and they differ from state to state, and sometimes they differ from party to party, and no one can keep track of it. I don't know how you keep track of it.
I really don't.
It's impossible.
Nobody does. If somebody gets on the air and pretends like they're an expert and they know exactly what's going to happen at the convention, they're completely
right.
liar, pants on fire.
Well, you're the closest we have, so that's why we keep inviting you back.
Goodness sakes. Well, thanks.
Thanks, Kristen. Kristen McQuarrie, read her in the Chicago Tribune. Appreciate you being here. A quick break, and then we'll find out what Rowan Hanna have next. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.